With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and a high quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides a perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential, elderly EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 308 188.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225 grams of magnesium.
Hang on, slow down.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
I wanted to find out from a real solicitor what happens when you let your insurance company look after your car accident claim. So I spoke to Charles Atha of Atha & Co.
Insurance companies make money from selling your claim to their own legal people. If you want solicitors who you can speak to face-to-face, someone who worked to achieve the best possible offer of compensation, you're better off choosing someone you know.
Someone you know? That sounds familiar, Charles.
Choose the one you know, Atha & Co.
Call 01642 22575 or text ADVICE to 81400 now.
Jericho Keys, the only presenter who brings music, Fishburne Park and Robert's recommendation to Southside Broadcasting every fortnight.
We are scientists. Nobody move, nobody gets hurt. And you catch them at York Duchess on the 27th of July, so that's giving you plenty of time to prepare and think of an excuse of why you're not going to work that night. Good morning. Jericho Keys here on Southside Broadcasting for another edition of There You Go. It's been a while, but I'm glad to be back to kick some class back down the wireless. Let's not delay any longer than necessary. Coming up, we'll be chatting to Scarborough band Everyone and Army, who are spotted at Scarborough's very own Future Music Festival, where they heated up the Baltic temperature with their heavy-driven sound. We'll have Robert's recommendations. Good morning, Robert.
Morning.
Fishburne Park news, as the beginning of the season is getting closer and closer, my single of the week, an album review and a random song from the album Bible. So is everybody all right? Are you all right, Rob?
Yeah, I'm out here.
Yeah, I'm a bit gutted myself, to be honest.
Why?
Because the campaign to get the Stone Roses, One Love to Number One, has been called off.
Really?
Yeah, it's a shame. It's been nice to see some class back in the charts. Ian Brown said of the track, the chorus wasn't strong enough. We tried for an anthem, wanted to cover all the bases, and ended up covering none. Oh, I don't know, Ian. I beg to differ. And so did thousands of others at Tea in the Park who sung along last weekend. Indeed you do, because I saw that at the Future Music Festival where you blew the cobwebs off.
Yeah, no, it was a good day, actually.
Really?
The weather was just a bit to be desired, but I think we put on an alright show.
I think you did indeed, because BBC Introducing also tapped you up that night, that day as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yeah. She seems to be quite keen. We've had a couple of tracks played on the Introducing show as a result, actually. It's been good.
All forward thinking. How did you three pessimists get together?
It was about 2008, I think, winter. And we just started sitting in the old drummer's attic, backing out in lengthy jams. And I think what came out initially was just like the sort of long progressive pieces. There was no choruses or anything. But I think over the time we sort of, I don't know, refined our sound a bit and... Yeah, we got a bit catchier, I guess.
What would you say sound was like? What would you say your influences were?
I mean, we've got like eclectic sort of range of influences. I mean, leading to a lot of sort of industrial stuff. You know, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. And I like the Smiths. I'm a big Morrissey fan, like the Cure. And but then there's bands we all love, like sort of Ocean Size and Radiohead. And I think I. It's hard to sort of pigeonhole our sound because it's got that heaviness to it. But I mean, it's, you know, it's quite got a metallic edge, but it's not metal, if you know what I mean. And I think that's a result of having such a wide range of influences.
Yeah,
when it keeps it interesting.
When I saw you, what I was drawn to was like your stage presence because you all really rocked out, like really enjoying it, and it was quite reminiscent. Yeah. I thought to quite Biffy Clyro, to be honest.
Ah, we've had that before. We've had the Biffy thing before. Early Biffy,
I'd definitely
agree with you on that.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm a big... I love Biffy. I've sort of followed him since the beginning. I mean, the first gig I went to was Biffy Clyro in a tiny club in Scarborough where we're from, and it blew me away. Like they command such a great... Like, there's three people, do you know what I mean? There's just the three of them making this almighty racket, and I think that's... Maybe so what we try to do, we try and get as big sounding as possible, you know, with just the three of us. And I think it works quite well. There's never any need to bring in extra guitarists or anything like that. Just turn it up a little bit.
Yeah,
but in regards to the stage presence thing, I mean, I've seen so many bands who are just sort of static and you watch them and they don't look into it. And that it's not very convincing. And it's just natural, like, the jumping around and throwing your gear about, it's just completely natural, you know, it's not put on. I think Morrissey was in, I saw an interview with him and he said it's not performing, he said feels perform. And it's just, it's quite true, it just sort of, you just get into music and it takes you to this whole new platform of, yeah.
Amen.
It's just completely natural, it's not put on.
It's good. A new EP, The Thundering Tribe of Know What's Right, what's all that about?
It's sort of a, I know it's quite a grandiose title, but I mean, that's the sort of sound the music is. It is quite grandiose and it is quite bombastic in places, but in the title, just sort of when you're young, every sort of, when it comes to the age of having to make decisions and trying to keep people happy and realising that you do actually have to start worrying about stuff and you get to uni or you have to go into a job and money becomes a problem, and it's just the title is quite literal. It's literally, you know, whether you're making the right decisions and things like that. And the title track sort of follows in the same vein, like with the lyrics. And so yeah, that's the best I can explain it. I mean, other people will interpret it completely differently, but I love the idea of stuff being open to interpretation, like cryptic sort of. Yeah. So, what it means to me and the band, it could mean something completely different to someone else, and that's fine.
Talking about the opening track, Sangria, we had a bit of a banter in the studio before, and that had a French theme. And Robert here is very fluent in French, and he said it meant, was it True Blood, Rob?
I'm not very fluent in French. Don't worry. I haven't got a
clue. We won't tell anyone. No. It's, Sang Royal, it's back to the Holy Grail quest. It's royal blood, but it was in a biblical sense. But we've sort of taken that and twisted it, because it's got quite a monarchy, well, the lyrics are sort of quite anti-monarchy, and I like playing around with that royal blood. It becomes more of a literal thing in terms of that song. But I don't know, it's better than royal blood. It just sounds a bit cheesy. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It gives it a bit of mysticism. keeps things interesting, I think.
So there are many venues to play where you're from, then?
I think we've played about all two of them to death. there's one that we're cursed with since the beginning, so it always goes wrong. We played in a club called Vida's, which is where I saw Biffy Clyro, I mentioned earlier. We played this, it was like a teen sort of Christmas party, so there's lots of school kids there. And there's a big sort of, I guess, chav presence in Scarborough, and it was absolutely full of them. Just setting our gear up, and we were getting heckled straight from just plugging my pedals in on the floor and throwing things. But we give us good backers. Like, Lee was getting bottles thrown in, so he was just picking them up and flinging them back. I mean, it's not right to throw bottles at kids, but when they're being like that...
Is this the Sex Pistols reincarnated?
But I'd say, I think Lee fancies himself as a bit of a Sid Vicious character. in regards to venues, I mean, there's a big acoustic sort of scene, so all the bars have got open mic nights on all the time.
All right.
Stuff like that. But there's not many people who want to put on a good rock gig, and it's left up to the bands, really. And you do get the, like we put a gig a couple of weeks ago, couple of other local bands, and that was just one we set up. There's no real promoters or anything like that. It used to be, but it's sort of died out.
So you basically do it yourself, which is good in
some respects. Yeah, we've always sort of done that. I mean, we've never had a management, or we've never had sort of PR companies or anything helping us out. So everything we have done up till now has been self-financed and all off our own backs. I'm quite proud of that. I think a lot of my favourite bands and sort of doing it yourself, and there's no reason why you shouldn't, because you're just in debt of what, you're not get a record label to do it, you're just in debt. It's like having a mortgage, it's horrible.
Is that how you did the EP?
Horror stories. Sorry, mate.
Is that how you did the EP? Did you record that yourself, or did you go somewhere to do that?
The first two we recorded them ourselves, but we sort of gambled a bit and paid a bit of money, and went down to Cardiff and recorded with a guy called Ramesh Gordon, along with Studios. So it was all paid for, we paid for everything like that, but we thought we'd get a professional there on hand. Because, we've got the live show, but we just felt like we needed the recordings to back it up. Yeah. And I think it sounds great, really pleased with it.
And I agree. What's been the public's reaction to it?
Positive. We haven't had a bad review yet, but... we probably will eventually. We've had some great reviews. Everyone seemed to be really into it, and we've had people sort of coming up and saying that maybe it won't translate very well live. So this guy came up to us and he was blown away. He loved it, and he said that even though you haven't got the benefits of multi-track guitars and stuff, it still comes across really well live. And we did want to keep that, and again, keep it quite live sounding, because, we are a live band. And, we're pleased that they sort of come across well live and on record. So, it's been very good reaction.
How can people get the grubby little mitts on it? Because I know today, actually, it's Robert's birthday, and I think you want one for your birthday, Robert, don't you?
I didn't like to ask.
Now, we're getting physical copies pressed quite soon. It's just a case of money again. I mean, we saved up quite a bit to repair the thing, so we're doing the same again to get it pressed. But I mean, when we do get it pressed, it's going to be something quite special, because no one really buys CDs anymore, I find, and we did want it on vinyl, but it costs a hell of a lot of money,
So how can people keep up to date with what's going on with, in terms of gigs and releases?
We've got our website, it's everyoneandarmy.com, and then we're on Facebook, so just search Everyone and Army, I guess. But I mean, Google's a pretty good tool, isn't it? Just type us into Google, Everyone and Army, gig listings are on there, free downloads, it's, yeah, all sorts.
That's a very bold statement. Google's a very good tool, isn't it? I think it is, yeah.
I think everyone knows Google.
Martin, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thanks for joining us on
There
You Go.
Yeah, you too, no. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Would you like to introduce the next song, please?
This is Cleo, and it's from our new EP, Thundering Triumph, of Knowing What's Right. Cleo.
With Jericho Keys on Southside Broadcasting.
Thanks for Robert Nichols' recommendation on TYG with Jericho Keys.
This is what you want, this is what you get. Robert's recommendations. Robert!
I'm going with a band that I saw last night playing in a little place, a little venue in Hartlepool, which is a brilliant place called Flicks Movie Cafes, Cafe, and they're called Pan and the Dukes, and I believe it was only their second ever gig. I think they're from Hartlepool. There were four piece, but halfway through the show they said there had been a two piece, so maybe there were two piece on the first gig. And there's a singer, a girl plays ukulele, a lad plays guitar, and then somebody plays a percussion. You know those sort of box things that you bang as
a drum?
I like
how you're doing all these actions. Yeah, and saying ukulele,
good for radio.
Guitar.
Yeah, I'm doing it all for you. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Is it called a mahong? Or what's it called?
The box at the pat.
Yeah,
we'll call it the box, shall we?
Yeah, yeah. And they played a couple of covers, a Beatles song, which I'd never heard before. I meant to ask them afterwards because I didn't know it at all. But a go-between song, I think, from a long time ago, which they're kind of sort of that sort of, if anyone knows the go-betweens, it's a long time ago, sort of basically indie sort of shuffling sort of sound. And really good singer, really nice tunes. I suppose with the ukulele and acoustic describes what the sound's going to be like. I don't know whether they normally have a full drum kit because it was just a small setting that was in and it was like a sort of semi-acoustic setting. But it was only the second gig and they were very young and I was really struck by how good they were. And this venue is excellent because it's a little cafe next to the college in Hartlepool and it's got three cinemas in it, three little cinemas. So you go in and you have a drink or have something to eat, and you watch a film. Amazing.
It'd be good if you could play while the film was on as well.
Well, there was actually a projection behind them, but it was just static when I was watching it. But presumably there'll be gigs where there is actually some film behind because it was a full screen with a projector in front. So
oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
What are they called? Pan and...
They're called Pan and the Dukes.
And you've heard it here first, then. Pan and the Dukes. And 2 days ago was Friday the 13th. Which is quite spooky. Did anything spooky happen to you, Robert?
No.
Apart from Jonathan Woodgate signing for Middlesbrough again. But on a lighter note, you and the Tones were in York playing a very ironic number.